Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Alleluia. God's word before us today, as we kind of finish off our looking at what Isaiah has to say about the coming Christ child, comes from the 52nd chapter of the prophetical book, beginning with verse 7. If you like to follow along in the Pew Bible, this is on page 735. Isaiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 7, Pew Bible, page 735. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is God's word to you today. Let me say that differently. This is God speaking to you today. This is God speaking to you today. This is God speaking to you today. Let's pray. To thee, my heart, I offer, O Christ child, sweet and dear. Upon thy love relying, O be thou ever near. Take thou my heart and give me thine, and let it be forever mine. O Jesus, holy, undefiled, my Savior, meek and mild. Amen. Have you done any gasping like that this morning? You know the way you used to do when you were just knee-high to a grasshopper and you came running down the stairs on Christmas morning, all out of breath to see what was waiting for you under the Christmas tree? Or are you too old for that kind of gasping anymore? Too mature, too ho-hum about Christmas. After all, how many Christmases has it been for you now? What would it take to make you gasp again? A Lexus parked out in the driveway with a big red bowl on top? My friends, it's Christmas Day. This is the festival of God's love for us in the person, in the flesh of Jesus Christ. This is the festival of lights. Christ has been born for you. Does anyone gasp at that anymore? Does anyone ponder the mystery and marvel how it could ever be, how a virgin could give birth to a son? And that son is no human being merely, but he is God in human flesh. Doesn't the very notion of that make us just gasp for joy? Doesn't the very idea of it cause our hearts to erupt and burst forth with joy, sheer, unadulterated joy? Our text from Isaiah today is a text full of joy. In fact, it's filled to the brim with tidings of comfort and joy. The Lord has laid bare his arm to salvage our ruins. And whoever feeds on the living bread in the feed box of Bethlehem will live to rejoice forever. Listen again to what Isaiah says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. translators of Scripture always face a difficult decision on what is the best word to put into the English. The last phrase of this verse in the original Hebrew literally reads, who proclaim Yeshua, who proclaim Jesus. To discover Jesus in the Old Testament prophets, some 750 years before he ever walked the earth, fills our hearts with joy, great joy. It's the same joy the shepherds experienced when they traveled into Bethlehem and found there the baby lying in a manger in a stable, just the way the angel had told them it would be. Listen, Isaiah continues, your watchmen lift up their voices. These watchmen don't end up being some guards on city walls or kings or nobility, but these are the shepherds who are watching over their flocks by night. In the familiar and well-loved words of Luke, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed, perhaps gasped a little bit at what the shepherds said to them. The wonder that fills the good news of salvation fills us with joy, great joy. And Isaiah doesn't end there. He says, together they, referring back to the watchmen, shout for joy. Why? He answers, when the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. What Isaiah is telling us is that in time, people will see the fulfillment of God's promise. Down through the ages, we have joined to sing with joy the great canticles, the lasting liturgical songs of the church. With joy, we sing the Agnus Dei, the Benedictus, the Gloria in Excelsis, the Magnificat, the Nunc Dimittis, and the Sanctus. Because people like Isaiah and Zechariah and Mary, the shepherds, the angels, John the Baptist, and Simeon all saw with their own eyes the promise of God's plan of salvation unfolding little by little. To see God's plan of salvation being fulfilled in history makes us sing these songs of the church with joy. Isaiah says, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Israel. If the singing of a simple, sappy, secular, sentimental song can fill our hearts with such happiness, how much more can singing songs of true and lasting happiness fill us with joy? For sure, Yeshua, this tiny swaddled child in the manger, brings us news of comfort and joy, for we are the ones who desperately need to hear it. Isaiah calls us ruins of Jerusalem. Now that I know that I'm 62, I know that my body has gone past its prime. The list of laments is long. You're hearing one of them today. But am I a ruin? Am I at 62 years of age all washed up? And yet Isaiah calls us ruins. Think about that for a moment. That's what we are. By nature, we are ruined. By nature, we are lost and condemned in our sins. We come into this world with a nature that is sinful, And then we only complicate matters. We make matters worse by committing sins in thought, word, and deed. We will not, we cannot appreciate God's salvation, his salvaging us, if we don't recognize the fact that we are ruined. It's only when we admit our sin, that we are broken in our sin, that we are ruined by our sin, that we have a desperate need for Yeshua, Jesus, that we can sing for joy at the news of his coming. Jesus once said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." You see, comfort is a gift from God. And you know that God loves giving gifts. We've symbolized that in our gift opening week after week this Advent and Christmas seasons. And that, by the way, is why God loves a cheerful giver, because a cheerful giver is giving the way that God gives. And God especially loves giving gifts that bring gasps of great joy. How God accomplished our salvation is also something to sing about with great joy. Isaiah describes it this way: "The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations." Very often on Christmas Day, we sing as the psalm of the day, Psalm 98. And in that psalm, the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." What a powerful figure of speech that is. Whoever would have thought that God Almighty would accomplish our salvation by laying bare his holy arm in the person and by the work of Yeshua, Jesus, the Word made flesh. And yet, isn't that why we're here today? Isn't that what we're celebrating today? Swaddled as he was on that first Christmas, the baby Jesus is God's right hand. Fast asleep on the hay of the manger, he is God's holy arm. That's what John was expressing in our gospel today, which you heard Pastor Bonach read earlier. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." That little wailing, crying voice that came forth from the manger in Bethlehem on Christmas, later on would thunder from the cross on Calvary and say, "It is finished." Jesus would put his holy arm between us and the punishment we rightly deserve for our sin. If for no other reason than that, we want to offer up to God a gasp of joy this Christmas morning. We gasp at these tidings of comfort and joy. The Lord has laid bare his holy arm to salvage our ruins. But there is more. Whoever feeds on the living bread in the feed box of Bethlehem will live to rejoice forever. At Christmas, where do we find Yeshua, Jesus, the Word made flesh? We find him in a manger, right? A feed box in Bethlehem, which, by the way, means house of bread. We don't find Jesus sitting on some royal pillow, a throne where we, above all things, obey him. We don't find him in a treasure chest where we, above all things, consider his worth. We don't find him in a synagogue where, above all things, we can learn from him. We find him in a manger, in a feed box. Now, do you think that anyone at the time saw a divine sign in the feed box? Do you imagine that anyone understood the symbolism of the incarnate God being laid to rest in a manger? I don't think so. I imagine it took some 30 years when this child of Bethlehem became a man and then spoke these impossible words. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." How could anyone have imagined how Jesus would literally become the living bread from heaven on Maundy Thursday when he instituted the sacrament of his body and blood to assure his disciples of their right relationship with God? Or on Good Friday when he would surrender his holy arm to the nails that pierced his hands and his feet, and to the spear that pierced his side, so that we could feast on his word for the forgiveness of our sins. Yet that's why we're here today. That's what we celebrate on this festival of God incarnate, the celebration of the word of God made flesh. It's this miracle of God's love that forms the heart and core of all of our Christmas rejoicing. God became flesh. He did so through a virgin conception and birth, and then accomplished our salvation on the cross. That's why the hymnist writes, "We are rich, for he was poor. Is not this a wonder? Therefore praise God evermore, here on earth and yonder." For sure, my fellow Christmas celebrants, let's praise God forevermore. His right hand and his holy arm have reached all the way from the manger to the cross, from Bethlehem to Calvary, in fact, all the way from the Garden of Eden to today, to bring us tidings of comfort and joy. God's salvation, his Yeshua, his Jesus, who first appeared in a manger, a feed box, is the living bread that came down from heaven. And God's promise is that whoever eats of this bread will live forever. God promises that when you and I hold this baby Jesus in the arms of our faith, when we embrace and love him as our Savior and Lord, we will celebrate an eternal Christmas feast at God's endless table in heaven. And so a very merry and blessed Christmas to you all. Celebrate with high delight. Give your gifts. Receive your gifts. And burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Israel. God has given to the world what it needs now. Good news. He's given to you the gospel. The good news of Jesus, Yeshua. Tidings of comfort and joy. Amen. Please stand.